If I don't crank your truck, your battery's dead. Amen. Amen. Well, I like it. I like high gear. I'm thankful everybody's here this morning. I sure do. I don't even know if it's summer yet, but it feels like summer. I love summer because everybody walks in, they all dress pretty. That's how we say pretty down where I'm from, pretty. I don't know how y'all say it in Dallas, but or Hardin, not Dallas, that's right. But I'm thankful everybody's here this morning. I'm glad to be in church, amen. I love church. It's my favorite day of the week. I told y'all last time when I sit in there during Sunday school and hear everybody start coming in, that cranks my truck too. I'm thankful everybody's here this morning. I'm thankful that we hadn't come to serve a man. We hadn't come to worship singers. We surely hadn't come to worship somebody standing behind the pulpit, but we've come to worship Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that He's still got a powerful name. For in the name of Jesus, there's still forgiveness. There's still redemption. At the name of Jesus, blinded eyes began to see. As a matter of fact, the dead was raised at the name of Jesus. The Bible says there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus is still powerful this morning. The Bible says, wherefore God has also highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm thankful we've come in here to worship Him. Amen. I'm thankful to be in church this morning. I'm thankful my brother's here this morning. If y'all were here last week, my other brother was here, and this one was down at the beach. And I called him a heathen. And he didn't like that, so he had to show up this morning. So I'm thankful they're here this morning. And I am thankful, like I said on Wednesday night, that when my family does come in here, that everybody welcomes them. And I think when visitors come in here, and you've never seen them before, we ought to go shake their hand. Tell them that we love them. Tell them that we're glad to see them in church. And I'm thankful that we have a church that's like that. Because that's how my church is back home. When somebody comes in that you don't know, you just walk up to them and hug them. You say, I'm glad that you're here. And I'm glad each and every one of you is here. I might not know a lot of you, but I'm glad you're here this morning. And I hope you already found a blessing this morning through song. So, all right. Well, I reckon that's about it. Let's get into preaching. 1 John chapter number 1 is where we'll be this morning. 1 John chapter number 1. I'm thankful you're here, but most of all, I'm thankful He's here. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I will be in the midst of them. There could be 500 people here, but the Lord couldn't show up. There could be two people, but the Lord shows up and something mighty happens. I'm thankful when the Lord shows up, and I'm thankful He's here this morning. If you found your place in 1 John, say amen. Amen. If you're still looking, it's in the New Testament. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5 is where we'll begin. The Bible says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." I'm thankful this morning for the blood that Jesus shed for us. Verse number 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." I like verse number 9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." May God add His blessing to His word this morning. That's where we'll stop. Do you find yourself every night coming to God and saying, "God, I did it again"? And you confess the same sin to God over and over and over. Or am I the only one? You can't get past it. and you just feel like it's got a grip on you. And you just keep coming to God and says, well, God, I did it again. And it just seems like you can't get past it. You wish you could get rid of that sin that's in your life, but it just feels like it's got a stronghold on you and you just can't let it go. And that's what we're going to preach on this morning. Getting rid of your sin. Getting rid of your sin. Let's pray. Father, as we come, Lord, we just thank You for the ability to open up Your Word and just see what it says. Father, I'm thankful for Your presence in this place this morning. Lord, most of all, I'm thankful for the name of Jesus, that in that name I found salvation, I found forgiveness, and I found a home in heaven because of what Jesus did for me. And Lord, we just thank You this morning for already blessing us. And Lord, I pray that You'll be with the remainder of this service, that everything that's said would be done to honor and glorify You. Lord, I pray that You'll just cleanse me from myself. Cleanse me of all flesh and fill me with Your Spirit, Lord. And I pray that Your Word would go out into the hearts of Your people. And God, we would walk out of this place closer to You than when we walked in. Father, for everything that's done, we'll be sure to give You the praise, honor, and glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen and amen. Getting rid of your sin this morning. The first thing we've got to realize is that this letter written by John is written to a group of Christians. It's written to a group of Christians just like you and me. In chapter 5, verse number 13, he said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." John has not written this letter to people who haven't believed on the name of Jesus. John is writing this letter to Christians who have been saved by grace, Christians who already have a home in heaven, Christians who've been adopted as children of God, and Christians who have already been forgiven of all their sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yet we find John is telling Christians to confess their sins when all their sins have already been forgiven and washed away. Why is that? Because when you and I get saved, although we're completely forgiven of our sin, we still find ourselves in sin every day. Amen? Because when God moves in, our sin nature don't move out. And we still have the tendency to sin even though we're saved. Now don't miss this. John in verse number 9 is not telling this group of Christians to confess their sins to God to keep their family membership, but rather he's telling them to confess their sins to God to keep their family fellowship. So what are you talking about? Well, I believe when I was in middle school, my brother here, I had to use him. I was going to use him before he was even here. Well, Dad told him specifically on one night, do not go out. Stay at home. I don't want you going out tonight. Well, being the kids that we were going to do what we wanted to do. And he disobeyed and went out. Well, when he came back home, Dad was sitting on the couch saying, I could have swore I told you not to go out. And here you are, you've been gone for 4 hours. But listen to this. Just because he disobeyed our father, and my dad was mad, did that make him not his son anymore? No. He's still his son today, 10 years later. The only thing that it did kind of made them not in right standing at the time until they made it right. And that's what I'm talking about. When we disobey God's commands as a child of God, that doesn't make us not His children anymore. It just makes us not in right standing with Him until we make it right together. You get it now? So John is not telling these Christians to confess their sins in order to stay children of God. Because the conception, at least with me, is growing up before I got saved. I said, well, if I sin before I die and I don't confess my sin, am I going to die and go to hell? Because I didn't confess my sin. And the answer is no. Once you're saved, buddy, you're saved. And nothing can take that away. But the Bible says to confess our sins, not to stay saved once we're Christians, but to stay in fellowship and walking with our God, without anything between us. The Apostle John realized that Christians were going to sin. You can go to churches now And they'll tell you, it's a thing called, I believe it's called sinless perfection. They believe that if once you get saved, that if you sin, you weren't really saved. And I say, hogwash. That's what I say. Because the Apostle Paul struggled with sin even after he became a Christian. You can go read Romans chapter 7 and find that. And churches have become so legalistic now that they say, if you're a Christian, then you can't sin. And you better believe that I don't condone sin, not one bit. But we as Christians are going to sin every day of our life. We've probably even sinned since we walked in the back door this morning. Because we have thoughts that run through our mind and we think, what in the world? Why did that come through my mind? Amen? John said, if Christians say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. In verse number 8. He said in verse number 10, if we say that we hadn't sinned, we just don't make ourselves a liar. We make God a liar. Because the Bible tells us that all the world is under sin. And even after we get saved, we still have sin in our life. Now, do you find yourself this morning burdened down with the same sin, and it feels like it's got a grip on you and you can't get away? John lays out something for Christians in verse number 9 for us to do in order to get rid of the sin in our life. And I'll run through it real quick and we'll go and get a piece of chicken. Amen. Number 1, getting rid of your sin requires confession, which is our part. Verse number 9, the Bible says, if we confess, if we do our part, the Bible says He will do His. Now, confession is to agree with God that what we did was wrong and make it known to Him. So often you and I just go to God at the end of the day and say, God, I know I sinned a bunch today. I really don't know what I did, but I know I sinned, so I just confess them all to You. But rather, the Bible says that when we're walking in the light and we sin and we stumble and we get in the darkness, the Bible says that we ought to confess that sin right now and step back in the light. You ever had an argument with your parents when you were little? And you get that mad cry going? And you go in your room and you... just like that. And then 2 hours later, you're sitting there like, well, I'm all right now. And you go out and you say, well, I kind of feel bad about it now. I might as well go and tell them sorry. And you really don't know what you're saying sorry about. You just know you need to say sorry. So you walk out there to your parents and you say, well, I'm sorry for what I did earlier. And what do they say? What are you sorry for? And you say, well, I'll just get mad again because I don't know what I'm sorry for. And you run back to your room. But the reason my parents used to ask me what I'm sorry for was because they were trying to get me to notice what I did was wrong. Because once we say it, it rings through our mind and we say, well, I guess that was wrong. And that's what God wants us to do with Him. He wants us to come and not just say, God, I sinned today. But He'd rather us come to Him and say, God, specifically I did this today. I realize that it's wrong and I confess it before You. Because when we confess that specific sin before God, that's when we realize that it's wrong and that's when we realize we need to turn from it. Instead of just saying, God, forgive me for my sin today. God, forgive me for my pride today. Forgive me for the way that I talk today. Forgive me for that action that I sinned against You today. Now, have you ever done something against somebody and they didn't know it and it made them mad? And you're sitting there thinking, now if I tell them that it was me that did it, they ain't going to forgive me. You ever messed up something at your house and you don't want your husband or your wife to find out that it was you? You just hope they find out that maybe it's just something that swept through the house and made it dirty. And you're worried if you tell them that it was you, that they ain't going to forgive you. You don't have to worry about that with God. God already sees what we've done. God already knows what we've done. And we don't have to worry about going to Him and Him saying, well, that one's too bad this time. I'm not going to forgive you. Because the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful Which means every single time you come to Him and confess your sins, every single time He'll forgive you and cleanse you. The Bible says He is faithful and He's just. Not only will every single time will He do it, but every single time He's just to do it. Why? Because Jesus has already shed His blood on your behalf. And He's able to forgive you and me because when He looks at you and me, He already sees the blood that Jesus shed. And we're forgiven because of that. But like I said, you aren't confessing your sins this morning to keep your home in heaven. That's already secure. The only reason we as Christians confess our sins is to keep our walk clean before God. Now, James chapter 5 and verse number 16, something that's helped me a lot when I'm struggling with sin in my life. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another, and then pray for one another. The Bible does not say, confess your sins one to another, and expect for somebody to forgive you. The Bible doesn't say for you to go and confess your sins to a man that's on the other side of a door and expect him to forgive you. Because that man's just as wicked as you and me are. Amen. I don't have to go to confess my sins to a man they call Papa that dresses like Mama and expect and wonder if he's going to forgive me or not. Because I'm worried about God forgiving me, not somebody else. Because a man can't forgive me of all my sins anyway. Only Jesus can. But one of the biggest things that will help you get rid of the sin in your life is to tell somebody what you're struggling with. Now, of course, you got to be careful who you tell it to. Because if you tell it to somebody wrong, everybody in the churches don't know about it. Amen. Everybody at schools don't know about it. But I'm telling you, find somebody that you can trust, that's walking with the Lord, that knows the Bible, and go and tell them what you're struggling with. Because in college, I was having such a hard time with something. And me and my best friend, we used to do a Bible study every Thursday afternoon. And every week I would go and we'd have Bible study and I was struggling with the same thing and I didn't want to tell him. Because I didn't know what he was going to think. Finally, we just went in there and I was struggling with it so much and I said, I need help. So I went to him and I told him. And I was thinking, well, I don't know how this is going to turn out. And guess what? He looked at me and big tears started swelling up in his eyes. And he said, I've been struggling with the same exact thing for the past 2 months. And I was scared to tell you. See, what you're struggling with, more than likely, there's somebody else struggling with it. The Bible says there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. So whatever you're going through, somebody else is going through it too. Whatever temptation you're facing, somebody else is facing it too. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He'll do His part. We must do our part and then God will do His. What's God's part? Number one, we've got to confess. And number two, God's part is to forgive us and cleanse us. And the Bible says He's faithful and He's just to do it every single time. Once we take our sins to God and confess them, the Bible says that He cleanses you right there in that moment and then it's done. How many of us did something 10 years ago and we just keep on going back to God and say, God, I just can't get past it. I know I've asked You to forgive me every single night for the past 10 years, but I can't get past it. All that is the devil just ringing lies in your mind. Because the devil would love nothing more than to keep you in your past so that he can stop you from moving forward in your future. And the best way that he does that is to say, hold on, you dressing up in a suit and tie this morning? Then people see you on the outside, but I see you on the inside. And he'll lie to you and tell you that what you've done in your past ought to keep you from doing things in your present. Amen. But the Bible says that when we confess, we're forgiven and we're cleansed. And not only are you and I forgiven of our sins, but the Bible says that God not only forgives us, but He forgets our sin. The Bible says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Once they're under the blood, they're under there to stay. They're not coming back up. The only way they come up is if the devil gets down there and tries to bring them back up in your mind. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. So our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. If you start going east, you'll never go west unless you turn around. So keep going east, and you'll never start going west unless you turn around. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to do, is turn around and look at our sins in the past. But God's already forgiven, God's already forgotten, and God's already cleansed our sins when we ask Him. King David was a man after God's own heart. Yet he committed adultery, and yet he murdered her husband. If a man after God's own heart can do something like that, we ought not ever underestimate the things that you and I could do. Amen? Because if a man after God's own heart can do all that, there ain't no telling what you and I could do. But David needed cleansing. He said, "Wash me and cleanse me from my sin." He said, "Create a clean heart in me, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." How does God cleanse us? Verse number 7. "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Not only does the blood of Jesus Christ, when you and I get saved, cover our soul right there and give us a home in heaven, but the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ is continually cleansing you and me from all of our sin. The song says the blood has never lost its power. Because we need the blood of Jesus Christ every single day. Not just when you and I get saved, but every single day, the blood that Jesus shed for you and me cleansing our sin continually. See, confessing our sins before God puts us back walking in the light. Because when we sin, we get over here in darkness. But once we confess, the Bible says it's done and you're right back walking with God. But how often do we just carry it around? And we let it hold us back from being all that God wants us to be. If we do our part of confessing, God will do His part of cleansing. Now get this, and you won't hear this very much. Number 3, getting rid of your sin requires consequences. Although we confess our sins, and although we get cleansed by Jesus' blood, we're often left to dealt with the consequence of the choice that we made. Forgiveness never removes the consequences of the action that we made. Now get this. We can choose the sin that we want to do. Each and every one of us can choose whatever sin we want to do. But we can't choose the consequences of it. We can't choose the consequences that come. David was forgiven in Psalm 51. But yet David still had to deal with the consequences of what came forth from the action that he made. I had a friend in college. He's my coach, actually. And he decided, he's a Christian, as far as I know. He decided one night he wanted to go out to the bar, have a few drinks, and then drive back home. Wasn't but 10 miles from his house. Well, on the way back home, about 100 yards from his house, I'd say, he came around the curve and crossed the center line, going 80 miles an hour, and smashed the car. And 3 people in the other car died. Now, my friend, the fact is, if he asked Jesus to forgive him right after that, the Bible says that he was forgiven. But does that take away the fact that he's got to spend the next 30, 40, 50 years in prison? No. And even if it's not big sins like that, that we recall big sins, because sin is sin according to the Bible. But even if it's a little sin, even is lying, the Bible says that we have sorrow over it, and that's the consequence of sins like that. But although we're forgiven, the world and the devil will like to tell you there's no consequences to our actions. But we're still left to deal with the consequences of our actions. But if we could look at the consequences of our sin but right before we do it, we probably wouldn't do it. Because what the devil does is he paints a pretty picture. I mean, he paints it real pretty. And he says, "Doesn't this look good right here? Doesn't this look pleasurable?" And even the Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. If sin wasn't fun, if sin wasn't pleasurable, nobody would do it. But the fact is, the devil just dresses it all up and say, look how fun this is going to be. Look how good this looks. But what he does is he blinds your eyes to down the road. Because if you could see the effects that that choice is going to make on you, your family, your church, and everybody around you, there's no way we would do it. And so often, we're stuck here and we're figuring out, should we obey God or should we sin? And the devil dresses up sin right here and says, just do it. It looks fun right here. But over here, obeying God, it looks tough. It looks hard. But if we could look down the road and see the destruction that's going to come from our choice of sin, and rather see the joy that's going to come from obeying God, we would choose obedience every single time. So instead of looking at the short term, God help us to look at the long term effects of the choices that we make every single day. Because if we were to go to heaven right now and ask David, if you were to go back, would you have committed adultery with Bathsheba? He'd have said no. Because it was not worth the consequences of his sin. And you can go back and read it. I believe it's 2 Samuel 12 through the last chapter in that book. David's life turned to utter destruction because of the choices that he made. And the Bible says that we as preachers are to warn everyone about what's going to happen. And I wish I could warn everybody. But the Bible says that sin is fun, but the Bible also says that we reap what we sow. And if you could go talk to some 40, 50-year-old, 60-year-olds, they would say, I wish I would have never done that back in my college days, because now I can't get past it. Because sin, it hurts. And it has consequences. But whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, of the flesh he'll reap corruption. But of the Spirit, he'll reap life everlasting. Because the Bible says that God is not mocked. Because our sin has consequences. But thank God we're forgiven this morning. Although our sin does have consequences. And that doesn't take us out of our home in heaven. Now if you're struggling with sin this morning, the Bible says to confess your sins and God will do His part. And He'll cleanse you and He'll forgive you every single time. You say, what about my sin? Is my sin too bad to be forgiven? No. Jesus' blood covers it all. And the devil will lie to you and say, well, I know everybody else is forgiven. But what I did last night was too bad. There's no way God can forgive me. But God sent His Son to shed His blood on your behalf, so that you wouldn't have to walk around in guilt and in shame of what you did yesterday. But you could walk around in freedom. A cleansing of our sin takes place when God does His part. Sometimes we're still left to deal with the consequences. So knowing all that, now what do? You've now confessed your sin. You've been cleansed by God. And you realize now, hopefully, that the consequences of your sin are not worth it. Now you have a choice to make. Now you have a choice. Once you get right with God, God always gives us another chance to get right with Him. Chapter 2 and verse number 1. John writes, he says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. John said one of the purposes of the reason that he wrote this letter to this group at the church was to protect them from sin. Was so that they might not sin. In other words, this thing written right here protects us from sin. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. See, the reason most of us struggle with sin today is because Monday through Saturday, this Bible is just like that. And it sits on the nightstand. Amen? The reason that we struggle with sin is because this isn't hid in our heart. How do you make your choices every day? Everyday choices, how do you make your choices? Do you make it based on the way that you feel? Based on what you see? Or based on what everybody else is doing? Or do you make them based on what this Word says? Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke number 4, the devil came to Jesus right in the wilderness and tempted Him. He says, I know you fasted 40 days, I know you're hungry. But if you're really the Son of God, take this stone right here and make it bread and eat. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The devil took Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple. And now the devil says, Jesus, now you know that Bible says it is written, if you throw yourself off, the angels are going to pick you up. And everybody down in Jerusalem is going to see that you're really the Messiah. And you won't have to go to the cross. See, even the devil knows what this Word says. And if the devil knows it, we better know it. Amen? And Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And He takes him again. He says, I will give you all the kingdoms of this world if you just bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Jesus did not get in an argument with the devil. And when Jesus, the Son of God, could have destroyed the devil right there, all He said was, it is written, it is written, it is written. So that you and I would have an example of what we're to do when the devil comes to us and tempts us with his lies. And the Bible says at the end of Luke chapter 4, when Jesus just destroyed the devil with the written Word of God, the Bible says the devil left him for a season. Only for a season. If you want the devil to get off your back, just use the Word of God. Eve tried to use her own mind instead of just going with what God said. If the devil's messing with you this morning, just take the Word and shine it on him. And say, the Bible says this and I'm going to do it. Make the choice this week to read God's Word every morning and live by what you read. Because sin in our life will hold us back from being all that God wants us to be. Musicians, you can come forth. I realize this morning that we're all sinners. And I realize this morning that we can dress up, we can put a suit and a tie on, and we can look as religious as we want. But every single one of us in here struggles with sin. Whether it be pride, whether it be your mouth saying things that you shouldn't, or whether it be other stuff. Every single one of us struggle with it. And I don't want you to feel like you're all alone in this. Jesus shed His blood so that you and I can be forgiven. And this morning, some of you have walked in here with the guilt of your sin that you either committed last night or that you committed 5 years ago. And Jesus wants to remove that guilt from your life. And He'll do it if we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you can walk out those back doors this morning in freedom because of what Jesus will do for you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning. And Lord, we just thank You for Your Word that says it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And God, I just pray for those that walked in here this morning, they feel like they're enslaved and they're in chain to their sin. Father, I just pray that they'll be able to confess and get it cleansed. And God, the Bible says that You'll free us right there. And You'll give us a way to walk in newness of life. And Father, I just thank You that we as Christians have become dead to sin so that we might live in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And Father, I just pray that we'll walk out of here realizing that we can't do this on our own. We're realizing that we as Christians have been given the Holy Spirit to be able to walk in obedience to You. And Father, we thank You this morning for loving us despite who we are. And Lord, we just thank You for the name of Jesus, which is higher than any other name. And Lord, I just pray that You'll have Your will and Your way in this invitation. I pray that if anybody needs to come forth and get saved, Lord. I pray that this would be the day before it's eternally too late. Lord, if anybody needs to come forward and join the church, Lord, I pray that today would be the day. Lord, we just thank you this morning. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's all stand.